This is Indie Book Publishing. Indie Book Publishing is a show about new books and the authors who wrote them. It's an opportunity for prospective readers to hear directly from the writers, to hear what inspired them to write and publish, and to hear all the inside details about their books. And now, Indie Book Publishing with your host, Steve Jorgensen.
Greetings for Indie Book Publishing, Trafford Press. This is J. Douglas Barker. The Tree That Talks is the title of the book, a book about living in the moment for children. Our author, Barbara Ann, I didn't get the correct pronunciation for that. Siasson, is that right? Or Siasson?
That's right, Barbara Ann Siasson.
Yes. Siasson, I got it pretty close. Thank you, Barbara Ann, for being patient with me. Is joining me from Australia. Thank you for joining me today, Barbara Ann.
Great to be here.
Pleasure. This book is 20 pages, rather brief read, but it's not designed for adults. Where did the idea for the book come from?
Well, Jay, I've always been inspired by the Dalai Lama's quote, if all the children all over the world were taught to meditate and practice it, this would create peace and eliminate wars. And I do believe this is so true, as I practice meditation and have experienced many positive results, which have rubbed off onto my children. And they now also practice meditation and also live and now living a positive, beautiful life. Now, regarding meditation, about 24 years ago, I was going through a difficult period of my life, and I kept praying and asking for peace. Asking, you shall receive, and receive I did. A beautiful friend gave me a wonderful book written by Wayne Dyer, and in it he talked about meditation and finding peace. You know, I couldn't receive peace straight away, for I had to do the work of, you know, learning how to meditate and stilling my mind to find peace. So I first started meditating, you know, starting off by doing a minute, which led to 5 minutes, 15 minutes, 30 minutes, 45, which gradually led to an hour. And, you know, when the mind is just full of thoughts, it is so difficult to meditate, and it's just about practicing the art of standing still and releasing the thoughts. And with more practice, this leads to longer periods of meditation. Like from Psalms, it says, stand ye still and see that I am God. Now, through standing still, we connect to a higher power, which helps us in the areas of meditation and its many positive effects for adults and children. So meditation, to me, is such a vital ingredient for life, for adults and children, and parents especially, their children. It affects the mind, body, spirit in a very positive, calm way. It calms the mind, and when the mind and thoughts are calm, it allows the central nervous system to release calm hormones, chemicals, nerve impulses to relax body organs. And this works alongside the homeostasis of the body, which is the body's ability to balance and heal itself. Heal thyself, physician, so they say. We all have the ability to heal ourselves. Now, there's a grouping of psychologists in Australia called the Smiling Minds who have introduced meditation to over 5,000 schools. And they find it very effective with children. It improves their working memory, their ability to pay attention, reduces stress, increases their resilience. They become more settled and focused. And it helps children to live in the moment, have compassion, love, patience, kindness, forgiveness, gratitude, all the fruits of the spirit. Now, I find with meditation in my own life, it really helped me to think more positively, be at peace. It helped to heal ailments, helped me to lose weight. It helped me to pursue acts of kindness and connect with like-minded people. And basically, life got better. Above all, meditation helped me to connect with the inner God, a wonderful power that wants us to have the best in life, both parents, adults and children. And the inner God led me to a journey to discover my inner child, which we tend to lose during teenage years and adulthood. Well, I did anyway. During my teenage years, I sort of went astray. And so there was a reason for me to discover my inner child, and that was to enter the spiritual realms, one needs to become a little child. And as I discovered my inner child, it brought back many memories of my childhood years, which I spent in Hula, a beautiful place in the Pacific Islands, where my sisters and I would go to international schools in Port Moresby, and every school holidays we would go out to Hula for holidays. And Hula was a little village 2 hours southeast of Port Moresby. It was a community environment very close to nature. It had no power. We used to fetch fresh water from underground wells. we had lots of land growing organic fruits and veggies. It was surrounded by palm trees, the ocean and sand. So you can imagine how very close to nature I was. And I really spent time enjoying the moment and making good use of what was right in front of me. I then started applying my childhood experiences, mainly spending time with nature and living in the moment, to my adult years, along with meditation. And this has helped me greatly to live a more positive and happier life, especially for my children. So all this experience has inspired me to write The Tree That Talks.
And The Tree That Talks is, how would you describe that particular object in your book, The Tree That Talks?
The tree is sort of a very wise, a wise part, the tree that talks to Annabella. Annabella loves going to the park when she's feeling unhappy. And the tree is always there to guide and also protecting her from negative thinking. The tree brings wisdom to Annabella, the main character in the book, The Tree That Talks, and provides her with peace and helps her to, helps her to change a negative thought to a positive and to enjoy just living in the moment and not worry about the things that she was hurt by, the past.
The past, yes. And the story itself, how would you describe this for my listeners as a story that will impact positively children, young readers?
Well, what I really would like the readers and, young children and parents to take away from this book is that for parents, carers and teachers to inspire and teach their children to live in the moment. So often children worry about the dramas of yesterday and the fears for the future. But The Tree That Talks is about helping children overcome these dramas and fears by spending time with nature and living in the moment. Annabella, the character from the book, as I said, she has an unhappy episode. And through spending time with nature, it teaches her to live in the moment and to let go of the unhappy thoughts. Meditation also plays a big part in helping children to let go of, past and future worries. Children naturally live in the moment, but don't truly understand how to use it effectively. So my book has a simple meditation which encourages parents, carers and teachers to use for the children to learn and apply the art of living in the moment. I really encourage parents to be a true role model for the children, to meditate often and to live in the moment, as children pick up more on the parents' actions rather than words, as what I discovered with my own children. So, to help the children in the areas of living in the moment, if a parent sees a child playing with nature and really enjoying it, if you could just go to them and observe them and talk to them about being happy and encourage them to continue this feeling and explain to them how living in the moment, that they are living in the moment and this is a beautiful place to be where they can come to, create and dream. So, if parents can, like I said, really role model this, the children gain a lot. And so my book represents all this, and I feel that this will help children and parents to live a more positive life.
Barbara, how long did it take to complete this book? The writing itself may have been brief, but you have some wonderful illustrations. How did those come about?
Well, my children did all the illustrations. I started writing straight after I meditated, which was about 24 years ago, and I was thinking of doing an adult's book at that time. And then I thought, and then my children started drawing pictures around meditation and things like that. I thought, maybe I might do a children's book. So I got my children involved with all the illustrations of the book. And so it wasn't until about 6-7 years ago that I truly, all the writing was there, like all authors, some authors especially, I've got it sitting there, but not finding the right time to get it out and published. So I had it sitting there. My children had written it from, they were young, 10, 12 years ago. Now they're in their 20s. It wasn't until about 6-7 years ago that I truly got it published. So along with all of life's experiences, especially mainly meditation, it opened up a lot of areas to what I needed to, what my gifts were, what I, needed to bring out in life. We all go through life thinking, what do I really need to do in life? And I really discovered that to truly find out what you want to do in life, just start meditating, because in meditation you can find a lot of answers. Like I said, it helps us connect to the inner God, and that inner God leads us on a beautiful journey. Yeah, so
how started many years ago. How is your book different from others in the marketplace that deal with similar topics?
Well, you know, all books have their own uniqueness, but my book is unique as it reflects my own individual experience as a child, and it brings in my children's gifts and talents as well, in the areas of living in the moment and spending time with nature and meditation. And it is a simple, easy guide for parents and children in the areas, as I mentioned above, spending time with nature, living in the moment and meditation. It also has a gold award for literary excellence and a positive review from the U.S. Review of Books, which makes it that extra bit special.
Well, congratulations. There must have been some challenges in getting this completed, I'm thinking. How were those challenges overcome?
Well, there was, first of all, it was just making that firm decision to get it published. I found the most challenging part was just going through the process of publishing the book, finding the right publishing company, and then getting it all, prepared, sending them mock copies of the book. There was a lot of backwards and forwards, mistakes, errors. And I did find the publishing companies do make a lot of errors. And it's up to an author to continuously go through the errors to make sure that the book appeared the way I truly wanted to. So that's been a journey, getting it published.
Barbara, publishing is tough. Was there any fun involved in getting this one into the marketplace?
Oh, definitely. With every hard time, there's a beautiful, easy, successful, happy time. But the most fun, rewarding part was pursuing the idea of the book, developing the idea into a book, writing and illustrating the book, and watching it grow from an idea to a book, then to the book receiving a gold award for literary excellence and a positive review from U.S. Review of Books. Then next to a series of books, which is what I'm going through now, and now to a press release and a radio interview. So it's been a positive, wonderful journey. And I encourage all people out there to, if they've got an idea, just get out and just do it, because you gain some positive, beautiful results at the end of the journey.
Have you written any other books at this point, or is there another one on the horizon?
Yes, I have. I've already published, actually. That just went on air last week, went live last week. It's called The Happy Rainbow. It's a book about colouring your world with positive, colourful pictures and thoughts and images. And, it's basically helping children to release negative thoughts and to think more positive thoughts. So they create a rainbow, and through that rainbow they discover how to turn a negative rainbow with dark colours into a happy rainbow. So that's one book I've got published. Another book I've got published, A Happy Rainbow. I am also on my third and fourth book. Now, the third book is about the shining stars, which is a book about acts of kindness. And the fourth book is about Chini, the friendly dolphin, which is about the thoughts that grew.
Fantastic. This one's the first in the series, The Tree That Talks, a book about living in the moment for children. Our guest, who has joined me from Australia, Barbara Ann Siason. Thank you for joining me today, Barbara Ann. Where do we get copies of your book?
You can go to my website, thetreethattalksplusmore.com, and go to my gallery page. You can choose from a few areas: Barnes & Noble, Google, Amazon, Trapwoods Publishing, or if you're living in Australia, you can email me directly. So all that information is there on thetreethattalksplusmore.com.
Excellent. And for those of you on the listening side and wish to contact Barbara Ann, it's Barbara, spelled just like it sounds, Ann with an E, and Siason is S-Y-A-S-S-E-N. Barbara Ann, thank you for joining me today and sharing your story.
Thank you so much.
For Indie Book Publishing, Trafford Press, this is J. Douglas Barker.
You're listening to Indie Book Publishing, and we'll be right back after these messages. Congratulations on being the proud owner of an adorable, soft, cuddly, sweet-smelling, smiling, cooing, hungry, tired, gassy, screaming little bundle of joy. So now what? Where's the owner's manual for this thing? Where are my instructions?
right here. It's Baby and Toddler Instructions with Blythe Lipman on TogiNet.com. Infant care specialist Blythe Lipman has worked with babies for over 20 years and works extensively with new parents, providing workshops, in-home visits, tips, and daily phone calls to ease those frazzled nerves. With Baby and Toddler Instructions, you can get the advice you need on how to survive and enjoy your baby's first year. For more information on Blythe and how she can help you, go to babyinstructions.com. From 32 ways to stop a baby from crying, to 14 ways to get a baby to eat, and so much more, it's Baby and Toddler Instructions with Blythe Lipman on TogiNet.com. Welcome back to Indie Book Publishing, helping authors publish, promote, and sell their books around the world. Now, back to your host, Steve Jorgensen.
Greetings for Indie Book Publishing, Archway Press. This is J. Douglas Barker. The book is titled Planting My Values, and our author Lynn Powell joins me from the Houston area of Texas. Welcome to the program, Lynn.
Thank you.
Your book is apparently, because it's 24 pages, or for people with short attention span, designed to kind of reach a younger audience. Share a little of the story behind Planting My Values.
Well, actually, this has been a labor of love, and it's something I started a number of years ago. I have four children, and when they were younger, I was looking for a book that talked about different values, and I really couldn't find one that encompassed more than one core value at a time. So at that time, I started penning and putting ideas down in paper, and I said, someday I'm going to write the book that I couldn't find at that time. So, of course, the notes went into a desk, and life got busy, and it wasn't until about 2 years ago that we made another move. And I pulled everything out, and I said, I am now going to put the time and the effort into bringing this to life.
And you talk about values when you say your values. Has it anything to do with cooking, house cleaning, any of those types of values, or is there something else that you felt was more important or more meaningful to pass along?
Well, basically, it's a story of someone, a child, if you will, looking to find out what's good, what's bad, how can I gain core values. And really, when we look at our children, that's what we want. We want that strong foundation, that strong moral compass to develop when they're young. So this is literally a story of a little boy trying to figure out, you know, which way is up, which way is down, what's right, what's wrong, and it's kind of his journey of self-discovery.
How long did it take you, Lynn, to complete this book? You say you had started it several years ago and then decided to bring it out, dust it off, and maybe refresh it a little bit. How long did it take to get from the I'm making a decision to be an author and getting it completed?
That took about, I would say, 12 months, and it was a really, really wonderful, interesting process. I enjoyed it. It was very creative. What I really loved was once I wrote the words, then I had to design and figure out what picture I wanted with each page, and that was really, really creative and really fun. So actually, you know, matching the picture to the words really was an exciting part of it, and that's what took a long time.
Have you always wanted to be an author, or was this something that just sort of stumbled into your life and you decided, well, I think I'll pursue that?
No, it's been on my bucket list for a long, long time. So it's something I definitely wanted to do. I just needed to have the time to be able to start this process.
Any other authors that have impressed you and made a big influence on your life?
Oh, there are a lot of authors. And it's interesting in the children's picture book space. All the years that I've had children, and now they range from 14 to 20, I've always had books lined in a room and read to my children and gone into and would read to their classes, and I really enjoyed it. And I think out of that love is where I wanted to develop this, my first book, and I'd like to continue on with more beyond this.
Have you always used poetry? I'm not going to say it's actually poetry, but rhyming ideas or rhyming systems in order to get your messages across to your kids.
I haven't, but I've always found that they really enjoyed the cadence of the rhyme. And, you know, you can go back and look at authors like Dr. Seuss is probably the most people would know most of his books. And that kind of cadence and rhyming sticks with children. I think it keeps their attention span, and it makes them laugh.
Your artwork's spectacular as well. How did you find an illustrator that was able to convey your feelings and your thoughts?
Well, actually, through Archway, they have an illustration team, and so they have an illustrator. But I was the one that had to actually write and determine what I wanted my characters to look like and all the different scenes from each one. So that took quite a bit of time. But like I said, you go through certain iterations of the illustrations until you finally match what you want. So that, again, was a very creative process, and they have great illustrators on the Archway team.
You must have had some themes in mind as you began, and I know you've mentioned a couple of them. Is there anything else that perhaps is a little more general in its thought and intent that you have included in your book that are relevant to today's world? You know, perhaps learning by example, those kinds of things.
Oh, absolutely. It's about exhibiting good behavior in front of your peers and your family. It's about gaining self-confidence. And probably it ends on a small act of kindness can really help others. And so that can be very rewarding. So I think there are lots of different themes that run throughout the book. But in the end, it's really talking to 10 different core values and explaining what they are and how you might get them.
You mentioned that you have done readings before for children in school environment and other environments. Have you had an opportunity to share your first book with anybody in a public setting yet?
I have not, because actually it's just been out about 2 weeks, so we are fresh off the press.
Fresh.
I just got my first copies last week, and I did my first reading to my children over Thanksgiving. So they really enjoyed it. I look forward to doing that in the future, yes.
Oh, I was going to ask whether they ran from the room, and I guess that's because they weren't featured in the book, they didn't do that.
No. They knew I was doing it, and they were really great supporters through the process.
Is there an event in this book that might grab a young reader's attention? Is there one specific event, or is it all just a general journey that this character runs on?
It's a general journey, but what... There's my favorite portion in the beginning of the book is you'll see the main character driving on his bike, and he's going down a street, and all these monsters are out there hovering over him. And just I'll take a paragraph from that book. It says, "What if my steering just goes all berserk? Can I dodge around all the dangers that lurk? If I bike down a trail and everything's bleak, will I get caught up in a bad losing streak?" And that really defines what this is all about as we see our children start developing. And if they make a mistake, if they go down the wrong street, what's going to happen? And the whole core message is, in fact, if you develop strong values, even if you start going down the wrong path, you're going to have the foundation to pull back, and you're not going to get caught up in a bad losing streak. You learn from your mistakes, you pick yourself up, and you keep going. So I think that kind of depicts the core message of what I'm trying to get across in a whimsical way.
Parents are going to be involved in the read on this book, probably at least initially. What would you like parents to think about this book? What do you think they'll like about it?
Well, I think it's fun, it's whimsical, yet it tells a story, and it helps parents maybe set the seeds of these values that are important. We all want our kids to have a great foundation and a great start. We want them to have, some of the things I touch on are honesty, empathy, integrity, responsibility, gratitude, and courage. So those are a few of the ones that I talk to and talk about, and I think any parent would love to start the dialogue and get their kids talking about those words and what they actually mean at a young age.
There's a high incidence of bullying going on in our world. Did you address any of that in your book?
I did. There was one section where the main character goes up and there are some bullies bullying a younger boy, and he goes up and tries to stop it. And basically, it's showing that he has courage enough to go up and say, no, that's not okay, because we do see a lot of that on the playgrounds and at schools. And the more we get our kids to stick up for one another, the better we'll all be for it.
Take a couple of paragraphs or sentences and introduce Planting My Values to my listening audience. Get them passionate about getting their own copy.
Well, it's a young boy's sharing his journey in self-discovery as he learns to understand and develop good values in his life. And I can just pull out on one of the first pages and read a little bit. What is a value? How can I know where values come from? How values grow? When will I know if I have enough values and goodness and all the right stuff? Do they have special seeds? Do I plant every one? Do I need to add water? Do I need to add sun? What if it snows and the ground turns to ice? What if I slip, slide, and fall once, then twice? If I land on my values, will I squash them flat? Or are well-planted values much tougher than that?
Love that.
That gives you a little start of the beginning of the story.
They're not going to start calling you Mama Seuss, are they?
Yeah.
That's beautifully put. Were there any challenges that you had to overcome to get this completed, other than just deciding it's time?
Well, I think one of the things in writing children's books is it's a challenge to pick words that have big impact, because you don't have a whole lot of dialogue, and especially if you're doing it in rhyme, you have to have the words that make impact, then you have to have the cadence right. And so that took some time and a lot of editing to get that just right.
Are there other books in the future? Have you already started a sequel to Planting My Values?
I do have a number of ideas for, and I have started, yes.
I suspicion that might be the case. This is beautifully done. I love the rhyming aspects of your book. I love the illustrations. I think the values that you are espousing in your book are ones that family members and grandparents would love to get and pass along. The title of the book is Planting My Values. Our author, Lynn Powell, has joined me from Houston. Lynn, where can my listeners get a copy of your book?
Number of places. You can go directly to Archway Publishing, and we have a bookstore located there. You can go to Amazon.com and get one there. You can go to Barnes & Noble online and get one there, or you can go to any of the stores and request and they can get it for you. So just about wherever you can buy a book, you should be able to get this.
Do you have a website developed yet?
I'm developing one right now, and it should be up and running quite soon, lynnpowellbooks.com. And right now the book is available in hardcover, softcover, and ebook.
For my listeners, Lynn is spelled with two N's, Powell, P-O-W-E-L-L. Lynn, thank you for joining me today and sharing your story.
Thank you so much, Jay.
For Indie Book Publishing, Archway Press, this is J. Douglas Barker.
You're listening to Indie Book Publishing, and we'll be right back after these messages. Join us for Self-Aid Success Stories with Helen Wu, Wednesday nights at 10, 9 central on toginet.com. Helen Wu was born and raised in San Francisco's Chinatown, and after a very difficult upbringing, fighting depression, abuse, and addictions, she finally finds herself genuinely happy inside and out. Helen believes in taking our positive thinking and doing something positive to achieve a positive outcome. She's here to make a positive difference in your life, to be your game changer, your aha moment mentor. She's ready to help both men and women get into a better place. Helen Wu is also the author of Self-Aid Success Stories, 25 Success Stories from Successful Entrepreneurs. Inspired by Ellen DeGeneres, Helen wants the world to know that just because we find ourselves in a difficult situation doesn't mean we have to stay there. We can aid ourselves to a better life. So join us for Self-Aid Success Stories with Helen Wu, Wednesday nights at 10, 9 central on toginet.com.
Welcome back to Indie Book Publishing,
helping authors publish, promote, and sell their books around the world. Now, back to your host, Steve Jorgensen.
Greetings for Indie Book Publishing, Archway Press. This is J. Douglas Barker. The book is titled Tilly's Magical Christmas Ride, and our author who joins me from California is Lupe Almaguer Cruz. Welcome to the program.
Thank you.
Lupe, tell me about your book. You have a total of 50 pages in your book and a beautifully illustrated cover. Who was your audience? Who did you want to reach with this? What was the inspiration behind putting this together?
The audience is basically for children and adults as well, because it's an enchanting story of a little girl that meets Santa.
Did you always have this story in your mind, or is this something that you just recently created?
No, when I was 7 years old, I had a dream that I met Santa. I was under the kitchen table when the door opened, and I saw, from my view, a pair of black boots walking in. I knew that they could only belong to Santa.
Is it possible, maybe in retrospect, that was Santa, or was it a family member that perhaps startled you?
No, it was a dream I had.
Just a dream, all right.
Yes. And
so you've carried this dream with you for quite some time. Have you always had this desire to write this book and tell this story?
Well, I thought about it as a child. It would always, as I was growing up, I thought about that dream many, many times over, but I was unable. If I had even wanted to write it, I wasn't able to, on account of that I didn't get the education while growing up. We were out and migrating. My parents were very poor. They migrated and throughout the states, and I was put to work at the age of five. Mm-hmm. So sadly, I didn't get an education, because throughout my childhood and also my teenage years and as an adult, I worked in the fields.
You've had a very labor-intensive upbringing, from what I can tell. You had 10 siblings, along with three brothers, two sisters, and at the age of five, you began working in the field as a migrant worker. How did you get from that point to a point that you are today, where you are able to write and share your story?
Well, my parents taught us to work hard, work ethic, so, and not to expect anything from anybody. So I grew up just basically as an adult when I finally was on my own, always wanting to get ahead, and I worked extremely hard at it. I was able to save my money, and I started off by buying a little house, and then I sold a little house and started investing in real estate, and that's how I came about becoming a real estate owner.
Incredible. So in addition to being an author, you are currently, would I be correct in assuming you're a landlord of several properties, or did you buy property and invest in them and then grow your business that way?
Yes. I sold my little house and invested my money, towards, a couple of units here and so forth. And then I grew to the apartments, many apartments that I own. I've done everything. I have a great heart. I love children. I became a foster mom there for a while. I had teenage daughters, foster girls, and they are anxious also to hear this show, this talk show, because they are still in contact with me. And also, I'm a daycare provider. Like I said, I love children, and I still do daycare. So, and I got children that are, well, they're not children anymore, they're adults now, that are come out of college, and they still contact me. They always want to know what I'm doing.
That's a marvelous story just on its own. This one is titled Tilly's Magical Christmas Ride. Share a little of the setting for the Magical Christmas Ride. How does that come about for this wonderful child, Tilly?
Well, like I said, it's a story basically of the dream I had as a child. And I, when I reached the age of 59 years of age, I finally decided that it was, that I needed to learn to write, read and write, because I had been embarrassed. I could speak the language, but, which by the way, I didn't learn actually to, English until I, at the age of 28.
And I back then I told myself I have to learn it, you know, to communicate with others in English. And so, but anyway, when I turned 59, I finally said, you know what, I'd like to write this children's book, and I'd like to learn also, you know, to read and write. So basically, I just took, you know, to a laptop that I had, an old laptop, and I started writing well. And I, of course, my writing wasn't good at all. So, but what I did is I looked at children's books and see how the authors wrote, where the quotation marks were, where the commas and so forth. So I'm basically self-taught. And this book came about, I just like, the way I wrote it was just, it's like I didn't have a setting for it. I just whatever came in my mind, I just started to write until it came to the end, you know, to fruition. And then, of course, I had it edited. And this is how Tilly came about.
This is remarkable. Your story is not only touching, but also inspirational just on its own. Are you at any point thinking of maybe sharing your story, your life story, with the world?
Well, actually, when I first started to write, it was my life story that I was writing. And then I wrote like about 3 chapters. And then I thought, hey, when I came to the dream, I thought, well, why not, you know, write Tilly? Write my story about the dream I had meeting Santa. And so I spun off and started writing this book. But I really did start with my life story, which is, you know what, it is a tearjerker. I do cry a lot when I'm writing my life story. So and I do have to put it aside every so often because, you know, it's painful. But when I finished book one, Tilly's Magical Christmas Ride, I started writing book two, and which I'm almost done. And with book two, I don't know. Now that I'm almost done with book two, I find that there's another 2 books that I will be writing. You know, it'll be a series of about 4 or 5 books.
Incredible. And now, is this second book also a children's story?
It's a sequel.
To the first one.
Magical Christmas Ride.
It's perfect timing for releasing this book and getting the word out. Tilly's Magical Christmas Ride is certainly the right time of year to be sharing that story. Was there any underlying message that came through in your writing this, besides the interaction between Tilly and Santa Claus?
Do not understand what you meant.
Yes, I'm asking, was there a message, was there a certain moral to the story that came through from the story of Tilly?
Oh, of course. It's, for one, I taught myself that, yes, I can, if there's a will, there's a way, and that, yes, that even if at your worst moment, I'm sorry, that, you know, when things, if you've grown in the worst of, like my example, you know, not having an education and so forth, that yes, you can, that there is no such thing as that I can't do it. Yes, you can do it. Whatever you set your mind up to, you can do. And you have to believe in yourself.
How would you introduce the book, Tilly's Magical Christmas Ride, not just the book, but the story, to a listener and get them interested not only in your life story, which is kind of a sideline to this, but also in Tilly's life? How would you get them interested in buying their own personal copy of Tilly's Magical Christmas Ride?
You know, it's an enchanted tale about one girl's magical Christmas Eve, you know, as Santa's little helper. And there's a lot of children out there that would love to meet Santa. And this will kind of like excite them, you know, that, hey, maybe I too can meet Santa someday. And, you know, Tilly's adventure, you know, inspires not only children's, but also adult sense of adventure. And you know what? It reminds us of the true meaning of Christmas.
I understand in one of the scenes that you've created, Tilly gets to meet the reindeer. Tell us about that.
Yeah, she did. When Tilly walks out after, Santa visits Tilly, and he finds her awake and finds her under the table. And he tells her, Tilly, you know that when I visit children, all children must be asleep. And because you're awake, I must leave. Because he has a lot of toys to deliver that night. But he promises that he will return if she's asleep. And then he walks out and disappears into the dark. And then Tilly runs after, thinking, you know, what if when he returns, I'm still awake? And then I won't be able to tell him what I want for Christmas. So she goes outside and she ends up it's a magical event that a little tornado throws her up. And she lands up at the top of the roof of a neighbor's house. That's where Santa is and his reindeer, but Santa is already inside the neighbor's house. But she is able to talk to she's able to talk to the reindeer. And of course they tell her that she cannot ride it, get on the sleigh, because she's not human, and that they talk to each other, you know, that the reindeer and the toys talk to each other. And that's why they're able to build all these toys and so forth. But Tilly, anyway, I don't want to tell the story.
Well, it sounds as though it's a fanciful and magical story. The title again is Tilly's Magical Christmas Ride. We've been visiting with Lupe Amaguer Cruz. Lupe, where do my listeners obtain a copy of your book?
They can obtain it at Barnes & Noble, also Amazon, and e-books.
Fabulous.
And my throat is hurting. But anyway, that the listeners will be able to understand that it is a great book, and that it's a wonderful book for children to read. It inspires them to do better also.
Wonderful. Thank you for sharing your story. Again, Lupe's name is spelled L-U-P-E, last name C-R-U-Z. You can find Tilly's, T-I-L-L-I-E-S, Magical Christmas Ride by doing a search online, and also keep in touch with Lupe. Thank you so much for joining me today and sharing your inspirational personal story along with the story of Tilly. Thank you for joining me.
Thank you.
For Indie Book Publishing, Archway Press, this is J. Douglas Barker.
You've been listening to Indie Book Publishing with your host, Steve Jorgensen. Join us again next week at noon Eastern as Steve interviews another great author.